Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Four Corners podcast. It is another glorious Tuesday morning here on the airwaves. It is I, the lawyer, Dave Ungar, joined here today by my bestie, the bestie of all besties, the man who let me trounce him at PGA 2K25 yesterday because he wants to make me feel good. So he's next to the word sandbagging in the dictionary is a picture of this guy, PC Tutty. Tutty, how are you doing, buddy?
You know, I've been trying to get you to get online with me and play. If I go ahead and kick your ass the first time we play, you're never going to come back on again.
That's right. That's right. I was fully expect. I mean, your stats are so much better than mine. But the one advantage I had over Tunney yesterday, kids, is
sobriety.
Sobriety. That's right. One of us
it's
was
true story.
One of us was sober. The other one, not so much. And it,
well, it's not like we had planned this for days or something. All of a sudden, Dave's like, oh, my headset came this morning. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then like in the afternoon, he's like, all right, I'm charging it. And then I'm like, well, all right, I'm almost pretty much half in the bag already.
Yeah. Take over, Dave. I'm in the bag. So, you know, yeah, interesting. Just trying to get it to like to the point where we could actually hear each other in game was a real pain in the ass.
Well, once we got going, fine, but my major drawback to it, and maybe there's a different mode or some kind of different way to do it, but basically they just let you and the other person you're playing with play the hole, and you don't see the other person, you just see their ball move. Yeah.
And with headphones, so like, you can hear it go by your ear. It's kind of like the real world.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Well, and it's the shitty thing is like the previous edition of 2K Golf was, you'd both go on there, but you'd watch the other guy hit. You'd see him swing and hit. Then it would cut to you, and you would swing and hit. And I like that better. I guess this kind of makes it so you don't have to wait around if the other guy is takes a lot longer than you.
I'll say this, drunk, sober, otherwise, the creativity of some of these guys who create these courses is really remarkable. Like the one we did, the second one, where you probably don't remember much of it, but it was like this thing called the Outlaw, where there's like Marlboro Men cowboys standing out in the middle of nowhere. It's like, it's, and stone, you know, like it, you don't watch Lord of the Rings. Pat will appreciate this. In Lord of the Rings, they had these big giant statues called the Argonath. And these look like the cowboy versions of the Argonath standing out there on this golf course. But we're not here to talk totally about PGA 2K25. Although Scottie Scheffler did win the PGA Championship a week ago. So he's moving close to that career Grand Slam. I don't know who's winning the Schwab right now. I know they're playing that and they're...
Ben Griffin, I think, was
leading. Yeah, Griffin had like a blow up hole or something. So that's cool. But we've got three things we want to talk about here on Four Corners before we jump into later on Bandwagon Nerds, for those of you not following chronologically. But I want to start off talking about the NHL playoffs because we'll start out east first, where I don't know, man, this is an interesting question. Will the Carolina Hurricanes win a game in the conference finals before Grand Theft Auto 6 comes out? That's a legit question at this point because they are on the verge of getting swept, and they have not won a conference finals game since 2014, 11 years of this stuff. And I as the series has gone on, and I messaged Pat this morning, and for those of you wondering where Patrick is, none of your fucking business. No, he is out. He's on a cruise.
Huh? That was funny.
We know where he's at. He's on the Disney Treasure, I think, on his Disney cruise. He spent I was following his exploits on Facebook. So he's doing his annual Disney, well, biannual Disney trip, but he's actually doing a Disney cruise for the first time. And I messaged him this morning about the Carolina Florida game. And I just said, Carolina, woof. And he messaged me back like, do you have an iPhone? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, okay, that's why I'm getting messages from you, because he's out in the open sea right now. I'm like, yeah. And I made the comment to him that, and don't get me wrong, you Carolina Hurricanes fans are going to be pissed off about this, and that's okay. Here's the thing. I'm not saying the Capitals would have beaten Florida, because they certainly would not have. I think the series would be a very different series, simply because of the fact that the Capitals are a much more physical team, and there's no way Tom Wilson would have let some of this shit go down that what we saw last night. And even Rod Brind'Amour has called out his own team for not stepping up for the Stars. Need to step up for these players. Florida's pushing us around. They're doing whatever the fuck they want. We have to basically get some, like Major League Two, get some marbles, you know, that sort of thing. To me, it's like I'm looking at this series and I'm like, it is not a good match for Carolina, because this finesse versus finesse thing that you've got going on with these two teams, Carolina doesn't have the horses to match Florida in that. And you see it. I mean, Florida's just, it's not a close series right now. And I don't see Carolina getting a win in this one. I think this one's over in a couple days.
You can say that you could see Florida winning this series coming into it, but I don't believe anybody saw that this is going to be that dominant, right? I mean, Florida coming off the long series against Toronto, you know, having to play five against the Lightning, but a long series against Toronto, yeah. And Carolina just had been chugging along, looking like the best team in all of the NHL playoffs. So yeah, I don't know. I don't see the Panthers rebounding here and winning a game. The Hurricanes winning a game here. It'll be yesterday by the time this comes out. But yeah, the more interesting story is definitely over in the West side, where we got 1-1 series between the Oilers and the Stars.
And before we go out West, I want to publicly apologize to the people of Toronto. If I gave you any false hope last weekend that the Maple Leafs were actually not going to shit the bed, I sincerely apologize. I really thought maybe this would be their year. You want to talk about teams that didn't show up in Game 7. Holy shit. Toronto, after that gutsy, gritty performance in Game 6, to come home in front of your fans and just suck like that.
I mean, ever since that point, Florida's been pretty much unstoppable now. So
they have, and like you said, going into this series, Carolina, you know, made the Washington Capitals look pretty ordinary. Now that was it's not that the Caps played bad, and like I said last week, they just couldn't get the goal when they needed it, and that's hockey. You know, a break here and a break there, and things change. But I thought Carolina really looked like they had it all together. Their goaltending was on fire. They were getting scoring, lots of depth scoring, and they've just been made to look so ordinary by this Florida Panthers team that we forget they are the defending champions. But moving to your point, on the other side of the fence, that we have a series over there, kids. You got Dallas and Edmonton. Edmonton should be up 2-0. They should almost be like Florida at this point. But they gave, they let Dallas, I don't know about let Dallas, but Dallas put up a 5 spot in the third period in game 1 to steal that game. Edmonton came back strong in game 2, shut them out on home ice. So now Edmonton has grabbed home ice from Dallas. How do you see this one going? I mean, I've got my thoughts, and I've had my thoughts about a certain team since probably when they got up 3-2 on the Kings. I was all in on the Edmonton Oilers, and I still am. And I don't know how you see this one going. I think this will be a much tougher series, obviously. I mean, you know, Carolina and Florida is probably a sweep. This one is not going to be a sweep. I don't know if it goes 7, but I've been on the Edmonton bandwagon since, yeah, game 5 against the Kings. I'm going to stay there. I think Edmonton gets this done at about 6. Dallas is a really good team, but Edmonton has got something to prove, and we're going to get that rematch. And holy shit, if you thought last year was epic, you haven't seen anything yet, but I'll go to you on this Edmonton-Dallas series.
No, I kind of echo exactly what you're talking about. Edmonton just is, like we talked about, Florida outgunning Carolina. Edmonton has just got firepower coming at you from every which angle, and you know, quite possibly the best player in the world too. So I they did what they needed to do. They took one in Dallas, and like you said, they are on pace now to take this home in six.
Yeah, I mean, I say, you know, you're not going to beat Florida in a finesse versus finesse matchup, but Edmonton can. Edmonton's not like going to wear you down and just beat you into submission like some of these teams will. Edmonton will be like, oh, you want to skate up tempo? We're your Huckleberry. Oh, you want to, you know, match up scoring depth across the board? Okay. Now, you know, Skinner is the goaltender for Edmonton is the X factor, because sometimes he can be lights out like he was in game two. And then he can be like he was in game one, which was like, wow, you know, you gave up way too many goals there, pal. That's not going to get the job done against a team like Dallas. It's not to say Dallas can't win this series, but I haven't seen anything yet except one really amazing period of play by the Dallas Stars to let me think they can do this. I think Edmonton is, I've been saying this for a while. I think the Oilers take the cup. I think they get back there against Florida. And this time they're, you know, the thing is, they are not going to fall down 3-0 to the Panthers for the second year in a row. That's not going to happen. So they're not going to have to climb that. I mean, I guess it could happen. And
okay, we'll see. They got That's where they got Carolina right now, right?
I know they do. Yeah, we'll see. But I mean, and Florida is a deeper and better team than they were a year ago. You know, you add an element like Brad Marchand to your right. team, who is just a pain in the ass. If he's your teammate, you love him. If you're playing against him, he's just a pain in the ass. But he has really been the star of that Florida-Carolina series. And as Marchand goes, they go, you know, you got Stu Bennett putting in goals. You got, just all across the board, everybody is just contributing to Florida. I still think Edmonton wins the cup. It may have to go seven again. And I don't know. I think Edmonton would, I got to look at the records while we're doing something else to see who's got home ice advantage. Because last year, that Florida having home ice in game seven really helped. If you're going to go to Edmonton and play game seven of the Stanley Cup Finals, good fucking luck. You know, to break this Canadian curse in that kind of environment, which will be electric to say the very least. Yeah, I think, I'll stick with Edmonton on this one, Tony. I like the Oilers' chances.
The West, whoever wins the Western Conference will have home ice in the Stanley Cup Finals.
And that's big because it's a complete role reversal from a year ago. And Florida, yeah,
both Western teams had over 100 points, and neither Eastern Conference teams got to 100.
Okay. And I mean, and I know home ice doesn't mean in hockey what it means in other sports, and that's fine. We all understand.
But you still have it. You still want it, right?
Would you rather start at home or on the road?
Would you rather play more games in your building or in someone else's building?
Exactly.
Tell me.
And that crowd in Edmonton. I mean, if it is Edmonton and it is Florida and it is that rematch and it's Canada trying to end this drought, I mean, you thought Winnipeg was insane or Toronto was insane. Get ready, because Edmonton is going to be beyond insane. It'll be like an insane asylum. It'll be like Arkham or something. It'll be so good. But I think what we'll do, Tony, is we'll take our first and only commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs. We'll talk about college football. There was something else that happened in football related this week that I wanted to kind of pick your brain about. But I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want to keep you guessing. I know it's so mysterious. But you are listening to the Four Corners Podcast, which is a part of the Chairshot Radio Network right here on thechairshot.com, where my good friend, my bestie, PC Tunney, the guy who lets me whoop his ass at PGA to make me feel better.
You know, the next time we play, I'm going to kick Dave's ass. It's gonna be brutal. Going right to X. I'm posting the scorecard.
Please do. Yes. But Tunney, tell people where they can get their hands on some of that awesome chair shot merch.
Yeah, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of great t-shirt designs. You can also get it in long sleeves. You can get it in soft style. You can get it in a hoodie. However, it pleases you. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Oh, welcome back into the Four Corners podcast, guys and gals and everybody else. It is I, your host, Dave Ungar, with my good bestie, PC Tunney. Man, the NBA conference finals. We just talked about home court advantage, and never is that more evident than out west, where, I mean, Oklahoma City bludgeons Minnesota 2 games in OKC. They go to Minnesota and Minnesota drops like what, a 40-point win on them last night or something. Talk about a tale of just complete different teams on different courts. You're more versed in NBA stuff than I am, Tunney. But I mean, how are you seeing this? Is this just strictly a home court series? Can Oklahoma City get one in Minnesota and close this out? Can Minnesota get one in Oklahoma City, or at least be competitive? What do you think? I mean, right now, yeah, that was great last night. Kudos to you guys, Minnesota. I still don't like your chances very much in this series.
Game one, 15 for 51. Game two, 11 for 39. Game three, the Minnesota Timberwolves shoot 20 of 40 from 3-point. That's the discrepancy in those scores. Yeah. That's why Oklahoma City wins by 40 and wins by 15 and then loses by 40. And that's part of the problem of why the NBA is so fucking boring. Now, granted, we're going to get to the other side, which has been two really great games, but like, just going out and shooting threes and just being boring all the time. It really is. It's just a chuck fest. That's all it is. And it's not a whole lot of skill in it, right? It's why viewership is down. You know, like, you can say it's because there's no real major star like Magic and Bird to Michael to Kobe to LeBron. And now, you know, we're kind of sitting in this world of Luka and Jokic, and we're kind of watching these four young stars on each one of these teams try to rise up and take it. But man, the Timberwolves, they just ain't it. I think Oklahoma City, I'm really disappointed that they get a 40 point. I mean, this game, they were down 31 at halftime, Dave.
Yeah. And, you know, Shea won the MVP this week. SGA won the MVP, which just makes...
Didn't agree with that either.
No, who do you think should have got it?
Jokic averaged a triple-double.
I guess maybe he should have won Game 7. That would have helped.
I think the voting was already in, but yeah, maybe.
Right. You're right. I like, don't get me wrong, I like the NBA. The three-point shot is obviously overpowered. You know, anybody who's played, like, video games and knows what the term OP is, you get some of that in the NBA, because if you're making threes, the stats, you look at those stats, you look at Boston and the Knicks in the last round, the three-pointer killed the Celtics because they couldn't make them, and the Knicks capitalized. And in this series, you know, you see the same thing. Minnesota, when they're making threes, they're in good shape. When they're not, it's all over at halftime. And, you know, you live by the, and I mean, I guess that's the counter argument. You live by the three, you die by the three, and I get all that stuff. I think the other problem with the NBA is the rivalries are starting to evolve right now. And this is why what makes the East so compelling is because there's a built-in history and big-time history and rivalry between the Knicks and the Pacers. Nobody gives a shit about the Thunder and the Timberwolves, you know?
Well, the Thunder and Timberwolves haven't been around for that long either, no, right? Like, no. even you know, we know the Thunder are newer, but even the Timberwolves, that's a late... Early 90s, late 80s expansion team.
Sure. And I mean, this could be, with these teams as young as they are, this could be the first round of what turns into an epic Western Conference rivalry. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, we had, what was it, when Golden State and Oklahoma City were going at it for those years, when KD was over in OKC and Harden was over there, and you had the Warriors, you know, asserting their dynasty, so to speak. That was one thing. But you don't really have that out West right now. As far as I can tell, I mean, you got, what's great about the West though, is you got a lot of younger teams and like the paradigm is shifting. You know what I mean? And things are, what was on the bottom is now on the top. And I love that for the NBA, because they have not had nearly as much parity, and it's good for the league to get some of these other teams like the Rockets, teams that are on the come up, that sort of thing. But that being said, yeah, let's talk about the East, because the Pacers and the Knicks, like we said, lots of history. And how Tyler Halliburton brought back that history at the end of game one, or what he thought was the end of game one. He's lucky that it ended up not biting them in the ass. But I mean, all the history between Reggie Miller, Spike Lee, that all that stuff, John Starks, all the great stuff that happened with the Pacers and the Knicks way back in the early 90s. And now you get the resumption of this rivalry. And I guess I want to ask you this. Unlike the other series where it's all about home court, the Pacers said, hold my beer on the home court advantage. Is this series over? Because it sure feels like it's over, Tony.
Well, as we record Sunday morning, you know, ask me tonight in about 12, in like 10 hours or so, this game should be over. You would have to think that the Pacers should be able to come home and take care of business. Now, these have been closer games. Let's mention it again that the WWE set this up between Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton a year ago.
They did. I mean, like the game one,
but
the collapse in game one was, and I was like, because I was out at the golf course, the real golf course, guys, getting in some practice, practicing some chipping, and I was watching, as in the pro shop, watching the game with one of the guys out there who I talk to frequently when I go out there, and he turned on the hockey game instead. And like we were watching the Knicks and the Pacers, I'm like, oh, this is over. You know, they got this in the bag. And I don't know how the Pacers are pulling this stuff off, coming back from like 7, 8, 9 points down in the last minute. And the Knicks, to their credit, they didn't fold in game two. They came to play. They just couldn't get the job done again. And I mean, maybe New York steals a win here somewhere between game three and four, but I don't know about that. And, I'll defer to you. You're watching the series much more closely than me. I've got my thoughts. I don't know how the Knicks blew game one. I'm still trying to figure that out. They couldn't make free throws. I don't remember. Did they miss a lot of free throws down the stretch that left the door open, or what happened?
I don't remember exactly how that happened. I know they were up like 14 with 3 minutes to go, and they did say they let off the gas a little bit. It's just, to me, there's more depth on the wings defensively and offensively for Indiana. So I think that's kind of where you're going to see them max out in their potential to kind of pull away from the Knicks. Now, neither team has really been able to pull away, to be honest with you. True. You know, you got an overtime victory, a 5-point win. I just like the depth. Nembhard, Nesmith, Halliburton, McConnell, trying to think the other guy. There's one more really good, Mathurin, just a bunch of really good defensive guards that Indiana has.
Yeah, I tend to be with you, man. I think Indiana's the deeper team.
Well, and here's the thing. Pascal Siakam has been playing excellent for them.
Yes.
Very efficiently, too.
Yeah, Halliburton gets the headlines, but Siakam has been the unsung hero of this whole thing. And you look at just the work he's putting in. And it's not that the Knicks aren't gritty, but, you know, you need, like, Towns. And it can't just be Brunson. You need Towns, Bridges, all those guys to really just be at the top of their game. And they haven't been yet. And to beat a team like Indiana, especially coming off what they did to the Cavs. And I know the Knicks had all this momentum because they beat up on Boston. But yeah, if Jason Tatum doesn't go down, who knows? I think right now, if you ask me what I'm picking, yeah, Indiana, Oklahoma City in the NBA Finals, which is not sexy to say, but boy, that should be one hell of a battle, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it'll be Indiana trying to keep the pace, forcing the tempo against probably the best defensive team all year in Oklahoma City. And like, that's the thing. That's another thing that Oklahoma City can match Indiana in is that wing defensive depth down in the middle, too. They got a couple big guys, OKC. So we'll see what happens. It looks between NHL and NBA, we'd be pretty surprised if we didn't get these two finals matchups that we're predicting here at this point.
I mean, if we get Carolina-Dallas at this point, I'll be like, all right.
And Minnesota-New York?
Yeah. Like, no. Now, maybe you
what
could
the hell
slot,
happened
you
last
might
week?
Be able to slot in Minnesota, perhaps, or maybe the Knicks if they do something. Or sure, Dallas can make it. Carolina, no chance. But I mean, if it is Indiana and Oklahoma State, you're talking about a franchise getting their first championship. And that's huge. And that's what the NBA needs. You need moments like that. Like you're saying, why viewership is down. Because it's kind of rinse and repeat a lot of the time. You get these franchises, especially a franchise like the Pacers, who've been around forever. Weren't they an ABA franchise that came over?
Yes.
So they've been around forever, have never won a championship, have been there a couple times. I think they got there a couple. Yeah, the Lakers worked them that 1 year.
Yeah, 2000, they lost to the Lakers.
Yeah, so they've been there. They just haven't been able to get the job done. But, I mean, if there's a state that needs an NBA championship, holy shit, it's Indiana. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I mean, that's – the Colts are great and all that. But, like, if you ever watch America's Game where they talk about, like, the Colts championship when Peyton led them to their Indianapolis' only title – and they start off talking about how Indianapolis is a basketball centric city, and the Colts kind of got you know they got popular along the way. Speaking of the Colts, before we go on, our condolences of course go out to the family of Jim Irsay.
Yeah.
Passed away this week unexpectedly at the age of 65. Generally regarded as one of the better of the NFL owners, and I think you know that. That says a lot, a big testament. I know he was, and for Commanders / Redskins, whatever the hell you want to call them, for us as fans, Jim Irsay was very instrumental in getting Daniel Snyder the fuck out of there because he was very critical of what Snyder was doing. And you needed that because Jerry Jones, Snyder was Jerry Jones' boy. And you needed somebody strong like Irsay to push back against Jerry Jones and say, this motherfucker needs to go because he's killing this franchise and he's killing this, you know, this city. And so on behalf of Commanders fans everywhere, thank you, Jim. Rest in peace. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on Irsay.
No, a dynamic guy. A lot of different interests. Like one of the greatest collections of guitars in the world is Jim Irsay's.
Yeah.
His father, I believe, owned the Rams and then traded with the owner of the Rams straight up teams for the Colts and then moved them. And right. Crazy story. Jim was like general manager of the team, like in his early 30s. So he'd been around doing stuff forever. So, yeah. Condolences to the family, the fans.
Exactly. I mean, Baltimore moving vans in the Mayflower, leaving to go to Indianapolis. And then everybody in Cleveland pissed off when the Browns did the exact same thing. It's like, well, we've got a little bit of history in Baltimore there. Speaking of the NFL, before we move on to the last thing, I did want to ask, vote. They had some votes that went down this week. Two of them were really significant. One is there's a vote. I don't know what it passed by, but the NFL is going to allow their players to participate in the 2028 Olympics in flag football. It's huge because you're talking about the opportunity for some of these guys to do something that was damn near unthinkable. An Olympic gold medal. I don't know what the rest of the world plans to throw at the United States for flag football, but is this going to be like the dream team in 1992? There's nobody in the world in flag football who is going to be able to touch what the Americans are going to put out, right? It's going to be an absolute.
I don't know. If you told me it was tackle regular NFL rules football, well, sure. Right. But I don't know. But here's so NFL players can play, but only one player from each team. So if Terry McLaurin gets accepted and Jaden Daniels wanted to play, well, Jaden Daniels can't play then. Only Terry McLaurin's in.
As an American,
you know what I'm
saying? If Patrick Mahomes wants to throw to Terry McLaurin, I'm okay with it.
Well, you know what I'm saying, right? And then here's the thing, like, who's really going to play? Like, do we need to have Patrick Mahomes and, Jamar Chase out there? Or are we going to be okay if it's Daniel Jones and, I don't know.
Okay, Tony.
Pick a shitty receiver. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, I don't know. But it should be interesting. I mean, it's funny when they first start talking about this months ago, the guys who are on the flag football team right now who are not NFL players did not want this to happen and thought that they were better than the NFL players. And then you watch the quarterback throw, and this guy throws like he can't even get his hand around the football. And you're like, yeah, dude, you don't understand. This is going to be all NFL players.
Yeah. I mean, they are the best. I mean, this is not, yeah. I mean, if it was tackle, it'd be all over. Now, sure. Some of the nations who play rugby. And I mean, I think, you know, if you're looking at nations who may be able to step up and offer a challenge. Yeah. The rugby and Australian rules football nations, South Africa, New Zealand, stuff like that. You look at and say, maybe they can put up some sort of challenge, but the speed is going to kill these teams. And without that element of physicality, even if you want to get physical, the NFL guys are going to run you over.
Yeah. You'd think Canada would probably be our biggest opponent.
Yeah.
You know, they have Canadian football.
Yeah, that's
but who
that's
knows?
True.
I mean, it's a different game. It's interesting. It should be really interesting. But like you said, speed kills, and the fastest people in the world play in the NFL, and the fastest processing quarterbacks in the world play in the NFL. So that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, Tom Brady's going to come out of retirement. It's like, okay, well, you know, you guys are done now. The other vote that didn't pass was an attempt to ban the tush push, which as a Commanders fan, I was all in favor of, yeah, get rid of this shit. I say that half-heartedly, you know, because I do realize that, look, if you don't like the play, figure out a fucking way to stop it. Because that's, you know, you had like when RG3 first came in and lit the league on fire that year, first year. Yeah, I know he got hurt the second year, but people adjusted. Anybody who bases their offense about, you know, RPOs and stuff like that, defenses adjust to that. Okay, you don't like the tush push? Come up with a way to stop it. You don't ban it. So I don't know, man. I was like, whatever. That's my take on it. It's like, it's not exactly unfair. You know, ban the formation. They'll come up with a different way to do it.
Yeah, I don't really care either way. I'm kind of like indifferent on it. I do want to get to clarify some information on this, though. The Packers were selected to do this because they don't have an owner. And it wouldn't make one owner look petty.
It just
right?
makes so, all you Wisconsins look petty. Wisconsinians.
Right. So everybody that's going, oh, of course the Packers because they can't beat the Eagles, right? Like that's not how it everybody was no. given something. The Packers were given this. No. So this got 22 out of 32 votes. It needed 24 to pass.
It was close. Closer than I thought.
Yeah. I don't really care.
If it's a big deal,
like you
year,
said, do you know what? Why can't you just push from the other side? I never understood this. Why aren't they pushing from the other side? Why isn't someone? Why don't you have your two biggest defensive tackles on each side of the center lined up and just have two guys push behind them?
It is going. You know what? It's going to happen this year. And I mentioned rugby. Have you ever seen you've seen a scrum in rugby, right?
Well,
this is we're talking about, right? It's going to be a fucking rugby scrum.
You've seen what happened? Was it the Super Bowl or the conference championship where the refs, like, if you keep jumping off sides over the top, we're just going to give them the touchdown. Yeah. And it's like, really? Come on.
Yeah. That was the Commanders because Frankie Louvu kept trying to time the snap.
They hadn't figured out any other way to fucking try and get it done.
But I like the idea that you're saying line up. If they're going to line up one way, you line up the exact opposite way on the other side. And it turns into a rugby scrum. The lines just go at it. And whoever is going to push forward, I'm okay. That may be where it goes. I think they changed the rules for onside kicks. Now you can do it anytime you're trailing. You just have to announce it ahead of time. Okay. I still
wonder. Which is so stupid that it's so dumb. Like, you have to announce it. Wasn't that like part of the surprise? Was the, you know, the.
The year the Saints won the Super Bowl, if this rule was in effect, the Colts would have won that Super Bowl.
Just so, quite possibly. It's just, yeah.
Last thing I want to talk to you about before we get out of here. Big news out of college football. The CFP has addressed some of the concerns that were raised out of this first year of the 12-team format. They are going to straight seeding. So 1 through 12 get seeded. The top four, doesn't matter if you're the conference champion or whatever the case is. If you're in the top four, you get a bye. The rest of the teams duke it out. Personally, I love this decision. You know, and I know the NFL is dabbling with kind of the same thought about straight seeding instead of doing it, you know, rewarding the division champion. Because I've always thought, at the division champion, you should get something for that, but not when everybody in your division is sub 500. You don't need a fucking bye for that. You whole division sucks. Accept it. But with college football, when you look at what happened in this first year of the 12-team playoff, and it wasn't until what, like we got down to the final four where the games, or maybe the elite eight, sort of, kind of. But the final four was really good. And what do you think? I mean, I think this makes a lot of sense. They're going to be playing with this formula for a while, trying to get it right before they, especially if they're going to go to 16 teams, which of course, if you go to 16, then you don't have to worry about buys anymore, right? But if you're going to go to 16, then straight seeding makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of me wants to tell you I really could care less because college football is so fucked up, but that is not being a very professional podcaster. The whole thing needs to be redone so that the regular season means more where it's supposed to mean more, right? And like you said, the conference championship means nothing. You'd rather be the team in Penn State that had one loss and missed the conference championship because they had a loss to a top five team by less than a touchdown. Yeah. And they get to sit and wait and watch and go, okay, cool, now we're up next. Yeah, like it's just dumb the way it is with the SEC and the Big Ten. It basically ruined college football for me, to be honest with you.
Well, they are the power conferences, and everybody's gravitated towards them. But yeah, at the same time, I get why they're doing it. It makes a lot of sense because they're trying to avoid, you know, Arizona. And Arizona State played well, but like Boise State just got manhandled by, I think it was Penn State and all this, like this 3-6 matchup. Well, that's not really a three. And like you're saying, the conference championships don't mean anything, but the strength of the conferences themselves do. And if you're like Boise State and you've won your conference undefeated, but you're going to play like a 2-loss Alabama team, we all know who's probably going to win that game. And so it's like, well, we shouldn't have Boise as the 3 seed. Alabama should be like a 4 or something. So I get it. It makes sense to me. I'm okay with them messing with this formula. I didn't like how a lot of the college football playoff turned out. I mean, ultimately the best team won. But
it's more so for the first round, right? Where these teams that should be like a 4, 5, or 6 seed are now a 9, 10, or 11 seed, yes. And they're playing teams that they shouldn't be playing in the first round. And so that's kind of where the grudges were being held this last year.
Sure. And it mimics a lot of like the NFL. And sure, there's going to be an upset here and there, you know, you're going to get that, but at the same time, give the better teams some momentum, get them to the next round, and let's get those big marquee matchups that the playoffs are supposed to produce. So I'm okay sure. with it. I'm okay. I think that's it for Four Corners this week, Tony. Let the kids out there know where they can find, where can they challenge you on PGA 2K25?
You can find me at PC Tony right there on X and pretty much all the other socials. But if you want to get my attention, X would be the place to do it. Don't forget about thechairshot.com and prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Indeed. On my end, you can check me out on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. There might be some interesting stuff coming up in a couple weeks. We'll see what happens. But until next time, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Four Corners Podcast. We will be back next week. I think Patrick's still on vacation. I'm sure Tony and I will come up with something to talk about because nothing's happening in sports right now, just everything, right? We didn't even talk baseball. Who gives a
it's
shit?
All Star Wars, baby. It's all Star
all
Wars.
All Star Wars, baby. That's right. But until next week, this is Dave Unger, PC Tunney, signing out of the Four Corners Podcast. You guys take it easy.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.